Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover.
What's up, everybody? We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, it's been a busy week here in the Hoover household. It's been crazy because it's been parent-teacher conference week at school this week.
Ooh.
I know. And
this throws every mom in off.
And what that means practically is we get out of school 2 hours early. The kids get out of school 2 hours early, and that means 10 hours that have been magically sucked
out of your week.
Out of my week. So it's been crazy. I've been just trying to get everything done, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I've been still trying to manage all of this stuff and come up and get some stuff done, volunteer at our church and things like that.
And but both the kids had good conferences.
They did.
Right? Colby hasn't killed anybody or anything like that.
Great conferences. But it's been hard for me to balance trying to get everything done this week. I so respect teachers. I'm so appreciative of what they pour into our kids.
Yes.
And I'm really...
We should applaud them again.
That was
good. Great job, teachers.
Yes,
great job.
They're awesome. And I'm also in awe of moms who work and balance the home, and dads who are balancing doing everything, because it was a lot for me this week. I don't know why it felt so overwhelming, but I guess losing 10 hours during the day when I normally get things done was tough. But that's one of the things that we really want to kind of transition and talk about this week. Is
it kind of got us thinking down this road?
Yeah.
Kind of set up the podcast for the day, and here's the question: what do we do to balance life at home with your career or work? And maybe you're a single parent family. Maybe you're a two parent family. Maybe one of you works, one of you doesn't. Maybe you both work. Maybe, who knows? There's probably a host of different scenarios of people that are listening today. But here's what we do know. Here's one thing I think that is consistent over all of those scenarios. What you invest in is what's going to grow. It's the same concept. There's some concepts that go over everything in life. What you invest time in, what you invest money in, what you invest attention to, what you nurture is what grows. What you don't nurture doesn't grow. And it's simply the law of compounding interest. The more you invest in, and the earlier you invest it, the more it compounds. And that concept is true for your work, and it's also true for your relationships. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's now time for Things I Never Said Before I Had Kids.
Stop walking outside naked. We have neighbors.
This has been Things I Never Said Before I Had Kids. So this work-life balance, how do I balance all of that? I'll be honest with you. This is a question that I wish people asked more often. And it's not that people don't ask the question. They ask it. But more often than not, they're asking it far too late in the game.
Yeah.
And when the stress first occurs, that's not when they ask it. Maybe they ask it to themselves, but they typically ask it far too late. And
or if they're asking that question in their head, they feel powerless or helpless to be able to do anything about it. They're kind of in that rat race, and they feel the tension, and they don't even know that this is the question they need to ask.
Yeah, you're right. And they take it out in different ways and different things, and they fill those voids with different things. But I think if you're feeling that tension, or maybe you're at the beginning of this, this is the time to address the need. Because like with anything else, the earlier you address it, and the quicker you get some solve and resolve to it, the better things are going to go.
Well, we know that every relationship works differently. Some people are they major on quality time together, and that is important to them. That's something they've established early in their relationship, and it doesn't matter what happens, we will fit in our quality time. But then there are other couples that's not the way their marriage is set up. It's not the way that their jobs are set up and the time constraints they have. They're like, we're going to work within this. We're going to do the best we can. But there are a few different scenarios that people might be living with and trying to balance this work-home thing. And so we want to look at a few of those. And I know that there are a lot of people we know who both spouses work.
Yep.
And they're trying to just get through every day balancing two careers, two jobs, and some of them have already begun their families or they're midway through raising their children, and they are already feeling this tension of, I just don't feel like we are investing in each other, or I feel like we're investing in our jobs and maybe we're investing in the kids, but we're not investing in each other, or we feel like we're just cheating the kids altogether. It's just that, what do we do?
Yeah. And there's a lot of different answers, a lot of different things that are going through people's head in any of these scenarios we're going to present. But in this one, where you're working, maybe both spouses are working, there's a little time together. One question I think you want to ask yourself is my occupation also my preoccupation? Because let's be honest, a lot of times it's easier at work. You get kudos more often. And sometimes those kudos are verbal. Sometimes those kudos are pats on the back. Sometimes it's a raise. But in some way, you get recognized for your efforts there. And then also, it could be your preoccupation because you just love your work. Mm-hmm. And we were designed to work. God created us to work. God created us, especially men, and women too, but especially men. He created to be productive, to build things, to hunt down things, to work, and that's the reason the world exists, you know, in the state it does today, and with science and technology and buildings and all that kind of stuff, is because people work and they love their work. And so when you do, it's really easy for you to settle in and that to preoccupy you. Because at home, a lot of times, you don't get those kudos, and it's not easy. And maybe you just feel like, I am not gifted at this, especially if you have small kids or teenagers.
Well, we've always worked together from the beginning of our marriage. It was ministry. Yeah. We traveled together. We were together all the time. And we nurtured the ministry we were trying to grow at the time. And then it seemed to work. I mean, we had the little conflicts of when is the door shut for work? When are we focusing on our relationship? And a lot of times we weren't.
And that was, we've said this before, we were married 13 years before kids came into our life. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of years there where it was just us working. And I think, Bonnie, I look back in our 20s, we had a lot of fun. And we didn't have a traditional job in our 20s. We traveled on the road, and we were musicians. We were worship leaders, we also had a nonprofit that we did, that we ran, and through our ministry.
We hosted conferences, so there was workshops, a lot of workload for that and processing it.
So it really did. The office door never shut. And that was a conversation we had then, because where I was built very driven, very dreamer, visionary type thing. Bonnie just wasn't built to work that many hours. She was really good at what she did, but she required off time. She required me. And you had that conversation
and
with
naps.
Me. And naps. I never knew what naps were before we married.
Well, and when we moved from our first home to up here, we actually bought a house with the intention of bought that split floor plan. The foyer was so that we could create an office space in the downstairs and the home space upstairs, so that we tried to force ourselves, okay, if we're still downstairs after a certain hour, we're working overtime. We're not engaging.
Yeah, because before we just had a guest bedroom or as an office, and it never really clicked with me. I'm still working.
Right.
So tried to work.
But then I'll say, after we had children, once that season of, of working together in our nonprofit was finished, and we were at North Star. Then you were full time at our church, and I was part time. I was 20 hours a week,
something like that,
10 to 20 hours a week. And I was at that point after we had children. I mean, it was never a conflict before, because we both loved what we did. We both were able to give that time, and we found the balance. We did find ways to balance it. But then when the children came around, a little bit in, I started feeling that tension of I'm not doing either well. Mm-hmm. I felt like I knew I was good at my job and I loved it. And there was that, there were the accolades of, oh, this is a job well done. I could see something from start to finish. But then I come home to toddlers. Mm-hmm. And the rest of my day, I'm trying to finish my work on my laptop. And there, I felt like my children are in my way.
Yeah, and you weren't one of those people who were always longing for children, and I want to be a mommy, and I'm going to find my identity in that, and that's what I'm going to pour everything into. We went through many years, as we've said before, we went through many years of infertility trying to get kids here, but that still wasn't something that you ever felt like you were going to be great at.
No, In fact, I was terrified that I wasn't going to be good at it. And so when I actually had these two little blessings in my home, I felt that tension of, I know God's called me to be their mom and your wife primarily, but I have this job that I love and I feel fulfilled in, and I don't necessarily, and it was hard to even think it out in my mind, much less say it out loud to anybody, but I didn't feel fulfilled, and I felt like so many days, and if you're a mom of a toddler, you know this feeling, like you're spinning your wheels, there's nothing, you feel like it's from one load of laundry to the next dinner to the next load of laundry to, and that it doesn't, there's not as much, your children aren't going to look at you when they're two and say, Mommy, thank you for cooking for me, thank you for folding my clothes, not even when they're 8 and 10 a lot of times, but so I felt fulfilled in the job. And then
they will when they're teenagers, though, won't they?
Yeah, right. Sure. So I felt fulfilled there, but God just started working in my heart, and I felt something's got to give. There's not enough of me to go around. I can't do both. And so for us, it felt like, okay, something has to give there. And I didn't even see it coming.
No. The tough thing was your job was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a really cool job. One, you're a bass player. You're a chick bass player. How cool is that? But then also you got to work to create incredible worship services on Sunday and program that with a team.
With a team of adults.
Adults, yes, and volunteers. And so you're manning camera shots and producers and different things like that. And that was a fun job.
It really was a fun job
to stay at home and clean and cook and take care of kids.
But
it was a tough decision.
It was, but God had so pulled on my heart and tugged on my heart to show me that my investment there was great, but someone else could step in and do that in a second, whereas nobody could replace me at home.
Yeah.
And nobody could replace the intentionality of pouring into you as a husband and into our children. And the tension became so great that God... And I'm so thankful that he provided the means for us to figure out how to do this for me to be able to stay home. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that, if you're in that scenario where both spouses work, that's an option. It's an option that one of you chooses to stay home. I know I have a brother who, he's the one that stays home. His wife is a pharmacist. She has a really good job as a pharmacist. And so he stays at home with the kids, and that was really tough because he's a driven military guy before then, but he's an incredible dad, and you can tell through his kids he's doing a fabulous job at it. And so that's a non-traditional thing, but that may be what God leads you to. And I think when you do that, you're going to have to make, and this will be a ribbon that runs through this entire podcast, you're going to have to make some choices. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'll say this, even after I made the choice for a long time, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It took me a while to fully wrap my heart around the calling that I had and knowing it was best for our family, it was best for our children. And it took me 6, 9 months, maybe even a year before I began to love this new season that I was in. And so it was a sacrifice for me.
Yeah. I've heard my brother say, I never really knew my kids until I started staying home with them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I know their soul. I know their hearts. I know mm-hmm. them intimately.
Yeah.
And but the choices are going to be, one, you're going to have less income.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to make the choice to let some things go, to downsize, to simplify. And I think in the end, that's not something you're going to regret. But you're also going to have to make some choices, because you're going to have to, if you love your job and it's your preoccupation and you're leaving your job to do something that is seemingly less fun but a better investment, you're going to need to balance that out with something else that can invest in you
mm-hmm.
and that can breathe life in you. And Bonnie, how do you think you did that when you stayed at home? What did you find, kind of putting you on the spot, what did you find that breathes life into you that you can do?
Well, I know that we like to camp, and
we didn't really do that before.
No, we didn't, and I didn't have time because, to be honest, camping requires a lot of preparation on the part of whoever's packing and planning, and I didn't have that time before. So
you loved a kayak.
I loved a kayak, and I discovered that through our camping, and we would camp on lakes, and we're like, we just need a little something to do out on the water, and I really enjoyed kayaking, and that meant a lot. But it also meant one of the other things that breathed life back into me was your intentionality of holding Fridays sacred for me, because
I'm off on Fridays because our work week is Sunday through Thursday.
So that breathed life into me that I was sacrificing on the job front, but that I've seen that you've actually pulled back in some of your other hobbies to be able to create space for me to make sure Fridays are held sacred. And that breathed life back into me, because you get more adult interaction during the week than I do.
Yeah.
And so it meant a lot to me that breathed life back into me.
Yeah. If you're in that scenario, you may not have the option.
Right.
For one of you to stay at home. And so what do we do? What do we do in that case?
Well, that requires a tremendous amount of teamwork and a tremendous amount of the two of you sitting down together and planning and saying, okay, we want our marriage to be a priority. We want our family to be a priority. What are ways we can schedule out life, we can prioritize life so that we have to work? Maybe you're in a scenario where it's not an option for one of us to back down, but we need to make this a priority. How do we do that? Let's put everything on paper. It's like if you're budgeting.
Yep.
You sit down, you put everything, every penny you make on paper, and you give it a home. Let's look at every hour in our day, and let's see how we can make the most of that in a way that we cut some things out that are not good investments in order to make this work. Maybe you pull in help from family or friends. You enlist some help from outside to be able to, maybe you divvy out some things. Maybe you don't have the time to clean your home, but you're making enough money that you can hire somebody else to do that so that you can have those 2 hours a week to invest in your marriage or your children or something. You've got to use teamwork to figure out ways to invest in each other.
Yeah, and on the financial front, typically we have jobs because we need to make money.
Yeah.
And that's probably the primary. There's all sorts of secondary reasons, but the primary thing is you got to have an income. You got to eat. Got to have a house, got to have cars, things like that. I think a wise thing to do when you're feeling this pressure is right off the bat, begin to look into the financial needs versus wants.
Yeah.
And to do that, you both have to come from a standpoint of the same convictions and philosophy about money. And I have a couple I'm working with right now, and that's where they are. And we're working on getting them on the same page financially. And I highly recommend, if your church offers a Dave Ramsey class or something like that, or if you can't go to something like that, I know you can purchase it and do the course at home.
Yeah.
Financial Peace. Or just simply,
I
was broke, but now I'm not. That's another good resource. You can buy the Total Money Makeover. And I tell you what Bonnie and I did. We just bought the book.
Yeah.
This was years before he was syndicated nationally, Dave Ramsey, and had all these classes. We bought the book, and we just read it kind of out loud to each other. We were on the road a lot, so as we were driving. And then we were just dumb enough to try every principle and put them into place. And that changed our life. But what you're going to have to do, first, get on the same page financially. Second, you're going to need to sit down with your budget and comb through everything you have and then really determine what is a need, what is a want. And life is about choices. So if you're going to invest more time and attention into your family and balance more, take the scales more in that way, you're going to need to give up some things. Yeah. And that's something you're really going to need to look at. And maybe you need to sit down with a financial coach or a pastor or somebody to help or a friend that's really really wise financially. So that's the first scenario where both spouses are working. Here's a second scenario.
So what if one spouse is working and the other's at home and trying to balance the home and make that run? So the one at home is feeling cheated relationally, or maybe you're feeling like your kids are cheated relationally. What do you do with that?
We came across this too. I mean, I remember we had sometimes in church work, it's seasonal. And you've got seasons that are slammed, and then you've got weeks that are a little slower, where it's just kind of the normal stuff going on. And we had one week it was seasonal, and it was crazy for a month or so. And I was gone a lot, doing a lot of things. And Bonnie, I remember you looked at me, and I got offended at first, but you looked at me and you said,
"I might not have done it nice."
Well, it was effective, but you said, "I'm feeling cheated. I'm feeling like you're choosing work over me." Mm-hmm. And that caused a conversation with us. And so.
Well, and I think what I was feeling at home on this was on the side at this point, I was home full time. That was my full time job. And if you are a stay at home mom, you feel, I mean, I know people look at that and say, "You're just a stay-at-home mom. You don't work." It's the thing about being a stay-at-home mom is your job starts as soon as the alarm goes off in the morning, and it doesn't stop. You don't get to leave the office.
Yeah, first of all, if you don't want to be hit upside the head with that big stay-at-home mom purse, don't say that.
No, exactly. Because it is, it's
taking your life in your hands.
It's morning. It's from the time, I mean, it's a 24/7 job. It's even in the middle of the night when they wet the bed or they are crying as a baby and they're neat. You just don't get to close the door ever.
I talked with a lady this week. She's having a hard time finding a job. She and her husband are separating. She's having a hard time finding a job. She's never had a job. She's been a stay-at-home mom for 17 years and managed a household with three kids and probably rocked it. And everywhere is telling her, "You don't have any job experience." Mm. And I'm like, kidding me. This lady could probably run that company if she can run that household.
No kidding.
Like that.
Well, and that, for me, I was feeling that tension of, it wasn't even so much that you weren't home as much. The tension I was really feeling was, okay, so I know that the kids need a certain structure, and they have so many hours of the day. They have from the time you walk in the door at 5:30 till we put them to bed at 7:45, 8 o'clock. They've got those 2 and a half hours is all they see you. Because that was also in a season when you were back going to school, so you were leaving the house before they were even awake. So the only time they had with you was 5:30. Till 7:45 at night, to maybe 8. Yep. And so I was feeling not just the tension, because once they went to bed, I got my time with you, but I was feeling like the kids were being cheated and that they don't understand that you're now not coming home till 6:30 because someone caught you on your way out the door, or because there was another marriage in crisis or a family in crisis. And that's where I was feeling very out of control also of, I want dinner on the table at 5:30 because the kids have not eaten lunch since 11:30 at school today, and they're hungry. And I'm very intentional about making sure we have dinner at the same. I mean, together as a family every night. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to be included in that, but you weren't home at a specific time. And sometimes you'd get on a phone call, couldn't tell me you were on your way. So you'd walk in at 6 and I was waiting for you to call me and say you were on your way home. And there are only so many 30-minute meals you can make. And I felt
it's 30 minutes from the church to the house. Sometimes I'd get on a phone call walking out the door and I couldn't let you know that I was on my way home.
So there was this tension, and you would come in and I would be so mad because either dinner's on the table and now, and it's on the stove and I'm trying to keep it warm till you get home, and the kids are, "Mama, I'm hungry. And you weren't there till 6:30. And I'm like, okay, now dinner's burned, cold, whatever. Or you're walking in the door because we just didn't have a good system. So finally I explained that. And I think just getting that out there and saying, I need to be in control of something here that's working. I want you to be here. And I hate this feeling of being mad at you all the time and feeling like you're choosing work over me when sometimes you couldn't help it. Mm-hmm. So we talked about it and I said, look, okay, I think the best thing for me to do would be, we're going to have dinner every day at 5:30. And if you...
You can be here if you... You said really kind.
But we want you to be part of... I want you to be part of that. The kids want you to be part of that. And if you can't be here then, I totally understand that. I will keep it warm for you. And when you come home, we're going to be happy to see you. And I'll keep dinner warm. And I promise I won't be mean to you about it anymore. I'll just be understanding.
Well, and you know what that did for me? It made me choose then. It set up a scenario where before I could just kind of float it and mm-hmm. whatever, but that set up a scenario where I had to come to a decision. I'm either going to be at home at 5:30 and have dinner with my family and spend some good family time there, or I'm going to choose other families because in my profession, I'm helping other people. I'm going to choose to help other people mm-hmm. over mine, and I'm yep. going to choose work over mine. Luckily, I feel like I chose right. And occasionally there's something I can't sure. help.
But I understand it now.
Yeah, you understand that now, and it's very rare. But it I don't think I've come after 5:30, but maybe a few times since
in the last year and a half since we had the conversation.
Years.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're gonna have to choose. Something's gonna feel cheated. And you're going to have to choose, like we said earlier, investments, you can't invest in everything. You got to invest in this or that. You can't invest in both. And there's a lot of times with us, you were worried about
the kids.
Because you were getting your time after the kids went to bed.
Yes.
We were hanging out. But that's not the majority. Most people, the kids get the attention. But the spouse isn't. And when I talk to a lot of couples where the wife says, he's a great husband. The kids get
great
the attention.
Dad.
I mean, excuse me. He's a great dad. The kids get the attention. He makes sure he plays with them. I ain't getting anything from him. And after the kids go to bed, they go their separate ways. And so that's probably going to be the majority of families. And so what do you do then when the spouse is feeling cheated? I think you have to do this. If you're listening to this podcast and you're the one that is feeling cheated because your spouse is overcommitted at work, you have got to find a way to kindly assert your desire and concern. You got to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And kind of like Bonnie did. You've got to find a way to bring this up. And when you do, you've got to guard your words and you've got to handle it carefully. And you've got to pray through how you're going to approach that. Because typically, not always, but typically, if let's just say it's the man that's overworking.
Well, did you realize it? Did you even realize at that point?
Yeah, I felt some tension because I knew that you wanted to have dinner around 5:30. And I felt tension because we had talked about it. There was some little arguing, going back and forth. So the tension was real.
Or maybe my huffing and puffing. And
No, you didn't do any of that. And so but typically the spouse, their intentions are good.
Yeah.
Most husbands, man, they're working their tails off. They're stressed at work. They're just trying to do the best they can. And we're going to assume that's probably it. Unless your marriage is in a very unhealthy place and the spouse doesn't want to be home. And that's what I said earlier. People ask this question too late.
Yeah.
And that's not too late. There's always help that can be had. But you really are going to need to sit down and talk to a counselor or a pastor to help work through that. But most of the times, the stress on the husband is he's doing the best he can, kind of like you're doing with a house or your house and your job, if you're your wife or vice versa. But so you're going to have to guard your words and handle it carefully, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to drop another load of stress on them. Now I'm stressing at work. I knew the tension at home was there, but now it's real because now you've just dropped a ton of stress on me.
Yeah.
So you want to find a way to breathe life into your spouse when you have this conversation. And keep in mind, if you're the wife and you're feeling this, it's the scripture says that the woman's primary desire is to feel loved, and you're not feeling loved, you're not feeling chosen. A man's primary desire is to be respected. And so when you bring this to him, he's not going to feel respected or that you appreciate what he's doing. So I think you need to find some ways to let him know that you really are proud of him and what he's doing, but there's some needs that has to be addressed at home. And just good communication skills are when you have that conversation, don't say you always, you never, you're, you know, yada, yada. Don't make it a personal attack. Use words like, I'm feeling this, or I feel like I don't want us to get to this place, or can we work together to find a solution on this? And it may not, the solution may not be quick and easy, but man, what can I do? That's another good thing to say. What can I do to help in this process?
Yeah. Well, you want to be able to breathe life back into that spouse who's stressed at home and doing so much there. And you do have legitimate needs. I know for us, I struggle with assertiveness. I struggle with telling you sometimes because I want to be encouraging. And I know that when you're investing in people all day, and your job is one of those jobs where you invest all day in other people and you're problem solving for them, the last thing I want you to feel like when you come home is, oh my gosh, I've got to now solve her. I've got to solve her problems.
Yeah.
I don't want to be another office visit for you.
Right.
My mom said something quite a few years ago that just stuck with me, and it's been my desire. And she said that when at the end of my dad's work days, whatever was going on, she said, I wanted to be a soft place for him to land. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me because your world's crazy enough. I know how hard you work. I appreciate what you do for our family. And when you come home, the last thing I want you to do is to walk into an environment that's hostile, an environment that feels like you've got to come in now and solve all of these problems. And I want it to feel like I want it to be a soft place for you to land. At the end of your day, I want you to come and want to come here. I don't want you to have to sit in the driveway and think, get up the courage and okay, let me just pull it together for a few more hours. I don't want you to have to feel that tension. And so I want to guard my words, and I want you to understand how much I respect. There are sometimes that you'll come in, and there'll be some things I do need to express to you, but I'll give you some time. I'll let you defrag. I'll wait till 8:30 at night when the kids are in bed, rather than trying to engage with that when your brain's still unwinding from the office. And I want that to be a soft place to land, but at the same time, we have to communicate about the very real needs that are happening here at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if you're listening and you're the one feeling this tension, you might want to ask yourself that question. What kind of environment am I providing at home? Because it could be a scenario that if your spouse is overworking or their occupation is their preoccupation, why are they preoccupied?
Yeah.
Do they want to come home? Is your home a place of grace and of love and peace? And when I say peace, I don't mean crazy hecticness, because that's just life.
Sure.
But when they come in the door, is it, you know, is it
it's constant about time
badgering? Is it right? I mean, okay, and they may not be intentionally doing it, but I'm going to stay at work a little longer because I don't want to go to that. So that's a question I think we all have to look in the mirror sometimes. That's a great question to ask. I think one of the greatest things you can do when you walk in the door, when your spouse walks in the door, is just give them a hug.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it really is. And I know, you know, if you have kids and your little kids run and they greet you at the door, that's the favorite part of the day. Mm-hmm. What if your spouse did that? Mm-hmm. What if what if that could be had? What if you walk in the door and the first thing you're greeted with is a hug or I love
you.
How is your day? That kind of thing. And that's hard to do when it's crazy at home.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're making an investment.
Yep.
And you're creating an environment that person wants to come home to. Now, if you're listening to this and you're the one cheating, there's so many scenarios here. Gosh, there's so many different ways to look at vantage point. Maybe you're listening and you're the one that you're cheating work. You're cheating on your family. And this verbiage of cheating, we got from a book that Andy Stanley wrote called When Work and Family Collide. It used to be, when he first came out with it, it was called Choosing to Cheat. And that's kind of where we got that verbiage. And then they renamed it because people thought it was a book about adultery.
But that can feel that way.
It can feel that way. Now, if you're the one that is overworking at work and you're imbalanced at home, the great thing is you're listening to this podcast and you're having this realization. You can do something about it. And I really like, if you haven't read that book, I think it'd be a worthwhile pickup, and
maybe
it might be too busy to read it. But yeah, they have the audio book, so you can listen to it on your car ride or whatever. But he says this. He said, "I've seen too many men and women cheat their families only to find that the companies they worked for weren't nearly as loyal to them as they were to the companies. Loyalty in the workplace is rarely reciprocated."
Wow.
Yeah. Typically, if you're let go on a Monday, by Tuesday, there's someone sitting at your desk. Mm-hmm. And
well, that goes back to what we were saying earlier, that we're replaceable at work.
But you're not replaceable at home. Nope. And he also writes about the need for us to cheat by allocating our limited resources of time towards what really matters in life. And that's going to be your families. That's going to be your spouse. In order to help ease the fears of those of us stuck in the vicious rat race of career pursuits, he describes to do what Daniel in the Old Testament did in Babylon. And if you're familiar with that story, if not, you can go read it. But basically, when he felt his vocation as an enslaved man that was wise, came up against his priorities. And so the king wanted all the people to eat this, you know, rich meats and different things like that. And instead of eating at the king's table, Daniel confronted the situation with his supervisor in a very wise and kindly assertive way. He listened to his supervisor's concern, and he set up a test. And he said, "Hey, what if we do this? What if me and my fellas, we go 10 days with no meat? And I want to show you that productivity wouldn't be adversely affected or wouldn't go down." And Andy Stanley suggests that you should use the same in your workplace. So address the issue with your supervisor in a kind, respectful way. Listen to their concerns and then set up a little test. Say, can I prove to you? Can I show you where you can limit your hours on the job and spend more time with your family? And I think there's some wisdom in this approach, but you have to go into it purposeful, and I think that's a great thing. But you're gonna have to make some changes in your investments. And Andy Stanley also says in the book, he gives you he challenges you to a 30-day challenge, and the focus of the challenge is to commit yourself not to cheat on home for work for 30 consecutive days. Instead, leave the office when you finished everything, and that may not be until very late at night, but resolve to be at home when you said you'll be at home. And if your wife's serving dinner at 6, be home at 6. And if your son has a game at 7, then be there. And the focus of the challenge is to encourage men or women in the situation to leave work at work and spend time with your family, realizing that investment is going to be the one that really pays off.
And you might have to walk out the door and leave some things unfinished at work.
You might.
But then there's this other scenario. There, maybe you are the one who you love working, and but you're going, "But my spouse already knew this about me when we got married."
She knew who I was.
She knew I was driven, that I love work, or he knew this about her, and all of a sudden, now they're not okay with this. What do we do now? I mean, because when I think sometimes when we're drawn to people, maybe you say that I was drawn to his work ethic. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he worked hard and that I knew he would work hard for our family. But now I'm seeing that it's more important than I am. Mm-hmm. That the work feels like another person in his life that's getting all of the time and effort. And
well, I think you've got to realize when you get married, especially if you got married younger, before kids, and your spouse knew your work ethic here, life's different. Life changes. Seasons of life change. And I know in our 20s, it was work, 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 drive, 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 vision, vision, vision. Mm-hmm. In my 40s, it's got to be totally different. I still am very intentional and driven at work, but that has to be left at work.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, just like I said, you're going to have to ask yourself the question. And I think this is the question. Sometimes a healthy exercise is to project yourself into the future and then your future self look back on life. And how you do this is realize that when you're 60, when you're 65, you're going to come home from the office for good and your job's going to be done.
Yeah.
And maybe your spouse is still there, but does your spouse know you, and do you know your spouse? Because at that time, your kids are going to be out of the house, and maybe they'll love you, maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be like the old song back in the 70s, The Man in the Moon.
Or a Cats in the
Cradle. Cats in the Cradle, Man in the Moon, Little Boy Blue. Yeah. Well, listen to that song. That'll get you asking some questions. But you're going to come home, and you're going to come home to an empty house. You're going to come home, and you might have a full bank account. You might have some plaques on the wall, but that's about it. And you need to ask that question. You need to live that out, and you need to allow that to realign your priorities now. Because there's no amount of stuff, no amount of retirement in the bank that is worth losing your family or losing your relationship with your kids or your wife. And typically a lot of people get to that stage, and if they've not made investments in their family, their spouse is no longer around.
Yeah.
Or they're on their second or third.
Well, you have people looking at you all the time that are godly men in your life saying, oh, if I could just go back.
Yep.
Do this the right way.
When our kids were little, what did every person over the age of 50 say when they saw us out? They said,
it's going to go fast.
Enjoy it. It goes fast.
That's right.
And guys, men, if you're struggling with this, if you're lady, you're struggling with this, you've got to count the cost. Wouldn't it be terrible if you came to the end of your life and you climb the ladder all the way to the top and then you realize the ladder was against the wrong wall? And that's why scripture says, store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy it. And that's people, it's relationships, it's your family. So make sure you do that. I love what my brother, I talked to my brother, my oldest brother, about this, and he's corporate, Chick-fil-A, very driven, very a type personality. And we talked about work-life balance, and he said that, with our dad, he came home from work with a briefcase, and he opened it up, and in the mornings, he put his lunch in there and his Newsweek magazine, and he went to work, and then he came home, and I never heard about work. We didn't have cell phones.
Y'all didn't really know what he did.
No, I'd ask him what he did for a living. I knew he worked on the Air Force base, and honestly, I think they train them to confuse people with what they do. They're probably all spies. And we don't know, but anyway, but he came home and we never heard about his work. He didn't have email. He didn't have all that. And that's not the world we live in anymore. So my brother said what he practices and what he teaches there at Chick-fil-A is to live be intentionally imbalanced. And he traveled for, 20 or more years with that company. And he was gone usually Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday. And he said that, when I was gone, I was gone. And we had an understanding and with his wife and he, and that she ran that household.
Yeah.
And she left her job, her corporate job that made a lot of money to stay at home. And she ran the household and he was gone. He said, and so the pendulum would have to swing far to that side, to the work side. But when he was home, when things slowed down, and you have to make sure that they do slow down, you intentionally swing that pendulum far back to the other side. And that's when he was highly invested in scouts with my nephew or sporting events or different things like that. That when you're home, you're home.
Yeah.
And your attention isn't diverted elsewhere. And that means you're going to have to put hobbies on the back burner for that season. You know, you're not going to be able to do some of the fun, grown-up games that you wanted to do because you're making the better investment. And so that's called intentionally imbalanced. And I really like that approach.
Yeah. Well, and we had to do that. We have to – there's seasons in ministry where things are crazy. I mean, Christmas – we had to redefine expectations for what Christmas was going to look like for our family, because it's such a busy time for church world. Same with Easter, certain holidays. So we have to realign those priorities. And I have to be understanding and say, you know what, I am so thankful for a job that does give you some flexibility to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. So, okay, great. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. And you communicate that to me. Look, the next 6 weeks is going to be insane, and I may see y'all a lot less.
So we work as a team
to
get through that.
We do. And I'm like, okay, I know that it's going to end, but it does end. And when you're home, when that season slows down, you're very intentional about swinging that time back towards our family so that it makes up for it.
Yeah. So to kind of put a lid on all of that, it comes down to this. It comes down to choices and investments. Yeah. Weigh the outcome of your investments. And I'm going to say this, and I think you'll get this out of the book we mentioned earlier. Choose to cheat work and do not cheat your family.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, no one lays on their deathbed and wishes they had spent more time at work.
No.
I've heard that said before.
Well, there are a few action steps we can leave you with. This week, carve out some time to talk to your spouse about their level of satisfaction with the amount of time that's being invested in your marriage and family.
It's a great conversation to have.
And if you're not in agreement, develop a strategy that you can both work on to get to the place where you're able to invest in each other. It might be some small things you can do, like us setting an unmovable dinner time. That helped us, or that was a little thing that seemed to help. Or it may be life or job altering.
Yeah.
You might have to make some hard decisions. You might have to say, we're going to give up the boat. We're going to give up the this so that we can have more time.
You may have to give up a job that you love to go to one that you don't love as much, that requires less, so you can invest in your family that you love.
Yes.
So you're shifting your investment of two things that you love towards the more important.
And you both got to be on board with this and understand that it's going to require sacrifice, probably. And it might require sacrifice for one of you more than the other.
Yeah.
But you've got to understand, keep long view in mind. What are we working to invest in for the long-term dividends we're going to reap out of the relationship and family? Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us on our podcast today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.